Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is the Whole Issue signing off show. I've been on Blog Talk Radio for 10 years now. 10 years. And when I started doing Blog Talk Radio of November 2009, I really had no idea how long I'd be doing Blog Talk Radio. I was thinking, not even a year, 6 months, a year, 2 years, something like that. But 10 years later, it's like, okay, I've decided to sign off. I just thought I'd fill you in on what's been going on. I haven't been around for a little while. It's just been so many things going on, personally in my personal life. I'm so inundated with just trying to survive that I just can't do anything else right now. It's really unfortunate. It has put a big damper on everything that I was trying to accomplish. But I felt like I really did my goal, which was to be a voice for survivors of abuse, of any type, really, not just child abuse, but survivors of abuse and survivors of domestic violence, and also a voice for the voiceless whose voices have been silenced. They can't speak out because they're either in the grave because they've been murdered or killed by their abusers, or they're silenced because their abusers are still living, so they can't speak out. So many people are in that position as well. And so I just kind of wanted to be a voice, out here, because it had bothered me growing up the way that I did and witnessing what I did and being made to be a part of what I was forced to endure as a child. It kind of bothered me that there weren't more voices speaking out. And then I kind of thought to myself, well, I know firsthand, so why am I not speaking out? It was more that I was kind of angry at myself for not speaking out. I thought, this is ridiculous. I'd always stood up against abuse, and I always will. I just think it's incredibly wrong, and so it's my feelings just never change on that. But, that was sort of what it was. I just thought, I can speak out. I've got a voice, and I can use it. And there's all sorts of medium out here, whether we write or speak or public speaking or whatever you choose to do, you can get involved, I knew that. So I thought, okay, I'll start searching around. And just ran into Blog Talk Radio, listening to somebody else's show, and I thought, hey, I'll do a show. So that's what started it all. And it soon became my healing journey, really, a huge part of my healing journey, being able to speak and talk about things that I had never dealt with before, and it forced me to look at the issues. And I would do the shows, but in the meantime, after I'd do the shows, or a week later or something, I'd be looking through the material and I'd be like, there's so much work I need to do, to heal. So this show, especially One Child Abuse Survivor to Another, those shows were really my healing journey, because I would go through the material and then I would do the work on it afterward and really focus on changing the way that I felt about myself and changing the way that I felt about life. And it really helped me out a lot. So, you know, I just want to thank everybody, all of you who through the years who've tuned in and been a part of this journey with me. I knew I wasn't alone on this journey. And, you know, we aren't alone. There's so many of us out here, right, who've been through this and worse and or similar things that we've been through and know how hard it is. You know, we're not alone. We just have to reach out. And so as I started to reach out, like all these hands started to reach out back to me. And I just, you know, I just made so many great friendships and met so many wonderful people. Some of them survivors of abuse, some of them not, but just so many wonderful people kind of brought together in a common cause, you know, to heal and to help others heal from the wounding of abuse, right? And I put on this little show page thing that rolls by with the pictures on it. The second picture that's there is three in the picture. One's me, I'm in the middle, and Donna Shear is on your, if you're looking at the picture, on your left. And Lee Roberts, she's on the right. If you're looking at the picture, it'd be your right. She's actually on my left, but it depends on how you're looking at the picture. But it's Donna Shear, Lee Roberts, and myself. And we started advocating against abuse and against child abuse years back, 2010. And even before that, Donna Shear had been helping me finish off my books and get them published. And just these two ladies came alongside me and, you know, became my sisters in Christ and just my sisters in my survivorship, you know, my survivor world. And they really helped me get through a lot, and I love them dearly, so I had to put that picture there. And we went to Paso Robles with Dreamcatchers for Abused Children, and it was just an amazing time, it was an amazing trip, and that was one accomplishment that, I mean, I just thank them for taking me along with them to do this, but we got to go to the Paso Robles Film Festival for The State and Fate of Children. And this was back in 2010. So it was just amazing. It was an amazing time. You know, I just met, like I said, so many people, so many wonderful people doing great work. And there were so many things that, you know, that I wanted to do and couldn't do. And my husband, who at the time, you know, we were sort of on again, off again in our relationship, you know, anybody who knows us knows. We were separated here and there for a few years, and but he became my husband, a common law husband, actually not too long before he passed away, 3 years before he passed away. But at the time, he was very, very sick with cancer when we went to that State and Fate Paso Robles Film Festival, and he was sick for a couple of years there. They weren't really sure if he was going to live another 2 months, even, you know, they were saying about 2 months, and if the treatment didn't work, even, you know, less than that. But it worked, and, you know, he survived, and he made it to 2018, August 4th, 2018. So there was a lot of things that I wanted to do and I couldn't do because his health really was, I mean, he was the most important person in my life. But he was the love of my life, and he was my best friend. And so I needed to be there for him. But he was so gracious and so aware of the situation. He knew about my situation being abused, and he knew how important this work was for me, and he knew how much better I was getting doing the work and doing these shows, and he could see the changes that were coming over my life. You know, he knew that for a long time I was not coping well and really struggling, and there really wasn't anything he could do. You know, he was just trying to be there for me, but he couldn't really help me because he wasn't abused. He didn't know really how to go about helping me out. So, and I didn't know either. I didn't know anything about how to get help. I didn't trust anything really. So he could see the changes as time went on, and he was really pleased and happy that I wrote those books and got them out, and he was my number one supporter for sure, and I would say he was my number one fan, for sure. And I just loved him dearly. So, yeah, there was a lot of things that I know I wanted to do but couldn't do. And, you know, it just wasn't as easy just to say, okay, I'm going to sign up for these speaking engagements and take off and do these things, you know, because I needed to be there for him. I needed to be able to help him out. And so that really his health was the all-important thing. It's sort of just the way it had to be. Priorities, you know. And I think we made the right decisions all the way through. You know, like I said, a person can only do what they can do, right? I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. I was working full-time as well. I was working full-time as well, trying to do all this stuff. And I kind of wore myself out, actually. And I knew I was burning the candle at both ends for many years, as I wasn't sleeping because I was very alert, because Cecil would fall down in the middle of the night and have to call the ambulance. And, you know, it's always have to keep an ear for him. You know, if he needed help in the middle of the night, you had to be able to be there, right? So I kind of burned the candle at both ends, and I knew that I was doing it. And would I change it? No, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't, you know, like, to me, it was all important that I could do that for him and also continue to work and continue to stay busy, because longevity for me was never in the picture anyway. I really never considered myself, I never thought of myself even living to be 50. So I just hit 54, actually, this month. So I never thought I'd be hit 50. So it's kind of, you know, I'm just sort of feel like I'm on borrowed time anyway. But I wouldn't change any of that, and I'm just so thankful for the support that I received while I was doing all of these shows, and especially from members of NASCA, NAASCA, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. That's had a, you know, CEO founder William Murray. He used to go by Bill Murray, Bill Murray Jr., but now he's going by William Murray, and he's got a new talk show going on too, as well as they're still doing the Stop Child Abuse Now here on Scan, the Stop Child Abuse Now program here on Blog Talk Radio. But now he's got another thing going just himself, because he's very interested in all sorts of things, and he's doing Purple Radio. So you can check that out. Just type in Purple Radio, William Murray. You'll find it. Great stuff. Anyway, great support from those guys. They're my family, my NASCA family, and I never really got to do what I wanted to do with them as well. I had a lot of hopes to be able to get more involved with the NASCA family and help other survivors, as well as just get more involved. And I just haven't been able to. I just can't. I'm barely hanging in there myself. So I'm like, you know, I just don't have any means to get involved with anything right now. So that's kind of the past 10 years. I really tried the best I could to do what I could with my voice and the time that I had. And like the books that I wrote, people would say, oh, you just wrote those because you wanted the money and stuff. Well, I donate the money that I make from those books. So, and I don't make much from them because nobody wants to read about abuse. But the money that I do make, which is very little, I actually donate it to not-for-profits. And now, right now, I'm donating it to NASCA, NAASCA, the NASCA family, because they're all volunteers. And that's the same with Donna Shear and Lee Roberts. They have the Advocates United for Humanity. We started that a long time ago. And they're still running that, and that's all not-for-profit volunteers. So, you know, I'd like to support them, too. So many great groups doing wonderful things, but these just happen to be my friends. But the, you know, there's just only so much a person can do, but I really tried the best I could to get involved and use my voice, and that's all we can do, really, is our best. And at the end of the day, it has to be enough, you know. There's only so much you can do. So presently what's going on is, my life is just in turmoil. Well, all summer I've been looking for a full-time job, because I knew this job that I had, a part-time job, I just got laid off from. It was a great little job, but it just never had the amount of hours that I needed. And also, it required me to stand on my feet and stand on my legs for quite a few hours during the day, which I needed a sit-down job because I'm really broken. So I just went for x-rays and stuff a couple weeks ago, and my legs, my hip and my ankle are are starting to break down because they were already broken. So they're really broken with surgery and pins and metal and all sorts of hardware in there. So I'm starting to fall apart. And then my heart's no good. So I knew that when I was 30. So I've had some problems with my heart. But the thing is I won't get the test results for another 10 days, but I have no idea what's going on. But in the meantime, I need a sit-down job, and I can't find one. No, nobody will hire me. I'm just getting too old and too broken down. They can see me when I come in for the interview. They're like, oh, boy. You know, do we want to choose a 30-year-old who's healthy or this old, broken-down woman? No, right? So I'm not getting any jobs. I just got laid off from my one part-time job, so now I have no... I've used all my savings, you know, with Cecil passing away like that. I mean, I had to use all my savings. I basically have nothing left. So I have no resources. So I'm basically going to be homeless here in about a month or less. No, I'll be a month and a week or two. I'm sure that my landlady won't kick me out on the street right away. So I've got a little bit of time. But things are not looking very good because I'm... I could probably find another part-time stand-up on my legs job, but I can't do that anymore. That's the issue. The pain from working all summer on my ankle and my hips for what was 4 days a week turned into 3 days a week and then stayed at 3 days a week. And I really needed 4 days a week just to live. So I was just using all my savings like every month. It was costing me a fortune for my car, just to make a long story short. So I'm just broke and broken. I'm broken completely and broke. So I'm just broken all the way around. Well, the other night, coming home from my last shift from this job, my car breaks down. And I got a bad, bad cold like the week before that. So I've been just, well, I thought it was a cold, but it actually was a flu. So I was like really sick. So things are not going well for me. But, you know, it's life, right? I've been through worse. And that's what I sat there and thought about that. Because I was kind of getting upset, especially not being able to find a job, because I need to be able to work, you know. I can't really retire yet. I'm a little too young for that. And I'm like, well, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I got to keep going. I don't really want to be homeless. And I thought, gee, you know, I don't know why I'm stressed out here. I have been through so much worse. But, you know, it's not like you tell people that. I don't walk up to my boss and say, oh, what are you going to do? I'll be like, oh, shit, man, I was raped when I was a child. Like, don't worry, you know, don't worry about me, I'll be fine. This is just a unpleasant hiccup for me, you know what I mean? I've been through, like so many of us survivors of abuse and trauma and horror and torture. I mean, I've been through a lot worse. So I'm just not happy because I didn't think it was going to go this way. I had total faith and total trust in the maker, the creator. You know, I'm a Christian, so I believe in God. And I just believed that things were going to go a little bit differently. I didn't think I was going to hit such low rock bottom at this point, you know. But what's funny is when I came up to Canada back in 1995, I came up with $700 and a sleeping bag. That's all I had, and a pillow and a jacket, you know, like just a couple things, and a duffel bag full of stuff. And that's what I came up here with, $700. Well, I did my budgeting for the next month, and after I pay everything off, including cutting off the bills and cutting everything off, I'm going to have $700 and nothing. So I'm going to end up exactly with what I had. And I just thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh, wow, what a trip. So I don't have a sleeping bag anymore. I'll have to get one of those. It's like, I don't go camping anymore, so I don't have a sleeping bag. But I do have a pillow and a duffel bag, so... it's just bizarre. It's just so bizarre how things like that work out. So yeah, I came up here with $700 and now I'm 25 years later back down to $700 homeless with, you know, great. So I didn't really see things going that way for myself. I kind of thought things would be a little bit better. But what can you do? You know, you just have to keep going. And like I used to say on all my shows, you know, you just have to keep reaching out. That's what I'm doing. I mean, I've got the doctors looking into my situation. I'm going to have something done with my ankle and my hip. So hopefully I'll get some assistance and some government assistance, right? Some sort of social assistance. It really sucks because I never I want to be able to keep working and not end up on government social assistance. I'm not happy about this, having to have, you know, be, I guess, living off the government, right? I thought that'd be okay at the age of 65 when I retired or something, like when I hit old age or something. So we'll just have to rely on the good graces. Hopefully they'll help me out. So that's presently what's going on. It's not looking very good. If my leg turns out to be cancerous, which I think it is, I think I've got cancer in my leg because it's a bad situation. The bad leg with the ankle, with my ankle broken and everything, and the bad hip, I think it's cancer because cancer eats your muscles, eats the flesh away, and I've got a huge section of my leg like withering away. So I just didn't care for so long because I was too busy looking for a job and too busy trying to help Cecil stay alive, my husband. So I kind of just didn't worry about it, but now it's time to worry about it. I don't think I'm going to survive amputation, so this is the issue. So I'm just not sure where this is going to go, but I'm totally comfortable with the fact that I made it this far. Never thought I'd make it this far. Sometimes hear my mom's voice rolling around the back of my head. Oh, you should have never been born. I should have killed you when you were a baby. And, you know, all the horrible things that she did to me and said to me. And I'm still here. You know? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not a quitter and I'm not giving up. I'm just going to keep going until I can't go anymore. That's all I told my husband. Because my husband was just like, what are you going to do? You know? And I was like, well, I'm just going to go until I can't go anymore. That's what, you know, that's what you've done. That's what he did. He went until he couldn't, his body couldn't do it anymore. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to go until I can't do it anymore and just keep going, right? But as far as the future goes, I have no idea what's going to be happening. So I'm going to sign off of Blog Talk Radio because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to lose my internet. Well, I am going to lose my internet for now, but I don't even know if I'll be able to ever get it back, especially if I get a terminally ill situation going on here. Probably not. So this is probably it. I think I'm going to sign off here and maybe post a little bit on my website just to keep people in the loop. Born in Hell website, if you ever want to check that out. All my stuff is there, audio work, video work. And, you know, I tried to put it all there as well as on the on YouTube. So you can check all that out if you want to. But I just appreciate all of you friends of mine, my listener friends from all over the world, taking the time to listen to what I had to say. My own family doesn't care what I have to say. They never did. And they still don't. They don't even care what I've been talking about for the last 10 years. They don't care about what my siblings went through, like my other siblings. They just don't care. And they would lie. They would lie to your face if you were to ask them and say, do you really care? Are you like that heartless? And they would say, oh, we care. We care. But they don't. And I'm so glad that like God is my witness. But I've had so many friends who are not my family, but really they are, who care. And who have been here for me and with me on this journey for 10 years. I mean, I just can't believe it. That I still have people listening to my shows and following my work. That's amazing to me. A lot of you, I don't know who you are. Probably the majority, you know. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to what I had to say and, you know, spending this time with me. I really appreciate it. It's been a journey, that's for sure. Like I said, you know, like we've been through a lot together. I'm sure in your life and in mine, both some good times and some hard times, you know, some sad times, right? But I just want to thank you for sharing them with me, taking this time to just sit in and listen to what I had to say. I really appreciate it. God knows who you are, I know that. And I hope to meet you one day. So as far as the future goes, we just have to keep reaching out. Like I say, you know, as a survivor of abuse, it's hard. It's hard to do. For many reasons. People say, oh, it's not, what's the big deal? And it's like, well, you know, there's a lot more than just, it's not necessarily just pride, you know. A lot of it's fear-based, right? and, you know, not getting our needs met as children, then we have to try to figure out how to do it as adults. And a lot of it's fear-based. We don't know what to expect, right? But we deserve help. We really do. If there's any group of people on the planet that deserves help, it's people who have been abused and oppressed and tortured and mistreated in any way, shape, or form. We deserve a hand up. We deserve a pat on the back and somebody to sit with their arm around our shoulder and just empathize with us and help us to get through another day. That's kind of how I feel about all of you out here listening, all my listener friends. You know, that's kind of how I feel about you. That's what I feel like you did for me, was just to be there for me. I knew that I had a whole set of people listening from all over the world. I didn't know your names, but I knew you were sitting there listening. And it just brought me a lot of comfort, a lot of peace, to know that I wasn't alone on this journey. And hopefully, by me sticking it out another day, that you would stick it out another day. And I did have a few people contact me and say that they did stick it out just because I told them to. And I'm like, yes, right on, because that was the whole purpose of me doing this whole entire thing, was to be a voice of encouragement, to keep going and not give up. No, don't be a quitter. Just keep going, no matter how hard it gets. I know I just broke my toe tonight. I can't hardly walk because of my ankle and my hip on one side, and then on my good leg, I just broke my toe. So it's not my big toe, thank God, but it's next to my pinky toe, and it's all black. And like, but you just got to keep going. So now I can't hardly walk at all because now both of my legs are screwed up. But it's okay, because we just got to keep going, you know. And it doesn't matter what the day brings or how hard it gets, like I always say, because it is going to get hard. It's going to get very hard. Days, this is life, right? And hopefully there'll be some, like, more better days than bad days. But you know there's going to be some horrible ones in there, because they just always are. So that's when you need to be ready and bolstered up to say, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not. You can have a pity party if you want to, because I do all the time. But then it's like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Keep that hope alive, right? Because you so deserve to get help and to stick it out and to get better and to have a good life, right? So that's what I'm doing. I'll keep reaching out as well. And like I always say, you know, don't give up. Keep going. And God keep you. God bless you and keep you in the palm of his hand until we meet again. This is Lori Smith signing off. Take good care. God bless you all.